Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The public gets one more chance to tune into a January 6th hearing today, hosted by House lawmakers, and there could be criminal referrals.
The committee is expected to vote on recommending at least three criminal charges against former President Trump, including a charge of insurrection. Representative Adam Schiff tells CNN it will be up to the Department of Justice to make the final determination.
If you can prove that someone incited an insurrection, that is, they incited violence against the government, or they gave aid and comfort to those who did, that violates that law.
Republicans who did not serve on the committee are planning a rebuttal, one that they say will focus on security failures at the Capitol. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Title 42, a Trump COVID-era policy that heavily limited the number of migrants allowed to enter the U.S., is set to expire Wednesday. Republican lawmakers are expected to ask the Supreme Court to intervene. But Democrat Henry Cuellar tells CBS's Face the Nation they need to come up with a plan B in a hurry.
If it goes away, they have to have a policy of an early pathway to asylum through our bridges. And if they don't follow that pathway, they need to go back. You know, they got to have something in place.
Deposed crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried has apparently had a change of heart. He's expected to drop his fight to return to the U.S. from the Bahamas by waiving extradition as early as today. 30-year-old's accused of a massive scheme to defraud investors. How do you like the new boss at Twitter? Elon Musk wants to know, so he's polling users. CNET's Ian Schur.
In a lot of ways, it can be seen as an acknowledgement that he realizes that people don't like him, that he has become rather unpopular over the last couple of months. He's made decisions that feel chaotic.
Musk says he will abide by the results of the poll, which he launched after banning users from linking Facebook and Instagram to their Twitter accounts. It was a terrifying ride for passengers on a flight from Phoenix to Honolulu. Officials say 36 people were hurt, 11 seriously, when a Hawaiian Airlines flight was rocked by severe turbulence. Honolulu EMS Director Jim Ireland.
We did see patients with head injuries. At least one, I believe, was for a time rendered unconscious, is the report I got. Although when everybody went to the hospital, they were all awake and talking.
Jews around the world lit the first Hanukkah candle last night. Attorney General Merrick Garland made a plea at the National Menorah Lighting.
We must stand up against the disturbing rise in anti-Semitism. And together, we must stand up against bigotry in any of its forms.
S&P futures up 12. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family?
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hump Day equals
Hump Day.
Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is.
Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is our buddy, Dr. Michael Mann, the University Distinguished Professor and Director of the Center for Science, Sustainability, and the Media at the University of Pennsylvania, the author of a number of books, most recently, The New Climate Wars. Michael Mann with two N's, MANN.net is his website. His Twitter handle is Michael E. Mann, MANN. And Dr. Mann, welcome back to the program. We haven't talked since the COP27 event, and I'm curious your take on what happened there.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's good to be with you. You know, COP27 was in some ways, successful, in other ways, not so successful, relative, for example, to the previous International Climate Summit in Glasgow a year ago. We did see the approval of a loss and damage clause, basically, in the in the International Climate Agreement. And what that will do is essentially, come up with funds from the industrial powers of the world, those countries like the U.S., the EU, who have benefited from two centuries of cheap access to dirty energy at the expense, of course, of the rest of the world. Those countries will raise the funds necessary to help the developing world, the global south, deal with the consequences that they are already feeling for a problem they had very little role in creating. And so that's really important. That was sort of a sticking point a year ago that was agreed upon. It was a major sort of advance in the International Climate Agreement.
I have a question about that, if I may interrupt you. I understand that, the big challenge now is funding it, getting it funded, and then they're talking about a few billion dollars here and there, correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm looking at, the five largest fossil fuel companies are making, tens of billions of dollars in just profit, leftover money every quarter. Was there any conversation about going after the companies that are driving this process and that have been lying to us for 60 years rather than just the countries?
No, and that's one of the areas where the proceedings have frankly been disappointing, right? I mean, the fossil fuel companies have been recording record profits, over the last year or so. They're the ones who created this problem, and they haven't really had to pay for it. And unfortunately, they have too many friends in high places. You saw, for example, both Russia and Saudi Arabia playing a role in the negotiations, basically to prevent any repercussions for the fossil fuel industry. And indeed, that is another area where the agreement was unsuccessful. We did not see the sorts of commitments that we had hoped to see from the major polluters of the planet to substantially commit to phasing out not just coal, which is the worst of the fossil fuels, but all fossil fuels. There was not language agreeing to phase out fossil fuels. We're still stuck with the much weaker phase down, which basically, you know, in a sense, it encourages or at least, provides, support for business as usual. What we need is not business as usual. We need the countries of the world to make good on their commitments. The United States, the EU, now Australia, we've all committed to making these substantial reductions in carbon emissions, 50%, 40 to 50% reductions in carbon emissions over the next decade, which is necessary if we're to avert a truly catastrophic warming of more than 3 degrees Fahrenheit of the planet. And yet, these countries, the United States, the EU, are still building new fossil fuel infrastructure. The IEA, the International Energy Agency, a conservative agency, has said there is really no compatibility with the commitments between the commitments that these countries like us have made and the actions that we're seeing. And so the actions aren't yet living up to the words. We didn't see a ratcheting up of the commitments that we had hoped to see. And so there is a lot of work left to be done over the next year if we are to return a year from now and finally get not just, you know, the words, but the deeds, the actions necessary from the major polluters of the planet, the industrial powers, now China, increasingly India, and everybody else.
How, and there was a fascinating piece, I believe, in the Financial Times yesterday. In fact, I talked about it on the air about how India is, it was a Substack newsletter to which I subscribed. This guy was traveling around Gujarat, one of the Northwest provinces, states, and they're trying to become a solar energy exporter. And not just to India from that state, but to an international exporter. I mean, you know, there's like some little, you know, rays of sunshine popping up here and there. But how bad are things right now? I mean, you said, you know, 3 degrees, truly catastrophic. And yet, you know, people died in the United States yesterday from climate change, arguably. I mean, you know, these severe storms that are going through the Southwest, or the Southeast rather, that are amped, wildly amped up by climate change. Yeah. And few people are denying that any longer. I mean, it seems pretty bad right now when, you know, last year we had 113 degree weather for 3 days in a row and here in Oregon that just, you know, is like killing off trees all over the state. All over the Pacific Northwest. How bad is it going to have to get before people really wake up? And how bad do you expect it to get over the next couple of years? How rapidly? Are we looking at a linear or an algorithmic or a logarithmic increase in severity of these storms and things?
Yeah. And first of all, you know, when it comes to denial, you know, we're largely past it. But, you know, lately, what we've seen on Elon Musk's Twitter is that, he has now provided, open season to climate change deniers to flood Twitter with climate change.
Which
denial.
Is weird because Tesla was this big green company. I mean, I'm baffled.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the great riddles of our time. How did Elon Musk go from a climate hero to a Bond villain in the space of just a few years?
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what we've seen.
Sadly.
But, you know, when it comes to, this question of when do we encounter dangerous climate change? As you allude to, it's here. We are seeing devastating climate consequences here in the United States, around the world. A third of Pakistan flooded by those summer storms earlier this year. Dangerous climate change has arrived, and it's a question of how bad we're willing to let it get. Now, here's the good news. The commitments that we do have on the table from, you know, the nations of the world, mostly from COP26 a year ago, a little bit, you know, more now from COP27, for example, Australia now is under new leadership and is more supportive of making substantial reductions in carbon emissions. So if you take, you know, those pledges that are on the table, and they have to be lived up to, that's an important caveat. But if you take those pledges, if the countries of the world make good on the pledges they've already made, that keeps warming probably below 2 degrees Celsius, below 4 degrees Fahrenheit. And we were headed more towards like 7 degrees Fahrenheit at the time of the Paris Agreement. So that's substantial progress, but it's not good enough. We've got to keep warming lower than that. We've got to keep it below 1.5 Celsius, 3 degrees Fahrenheit. And again, It can't just be words. It's got to be deeds. We can't be continuing to build new coal-fired power plants, expanding pipelines for natural gas and oil. That is fundamentally incompatible with preserving, you know, essentially a livable planet for us.
Yeah. Just more or less 10 years ago, you and I were talking on the air about this radical new theory. Radical is maybe not quite the right word, but this new theory that this a relatively obscure climate scientist, forgive me for forgetting your name, I'm guessing you know it, that we were going to start seeing, or we were seeing these, what we now refer to as bomb cyclone events, I guess, you know, super cold weather. We had a terribly cold winter in Washington, D.C. that year. As a consequence of the melting of the sea ice in the Arctic, and that was going to have this impact on the jet stream. And it was like a theory that was being debated and discussed and dismissed, in fact. And now I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it is, you know, widely accepted to be a fact. And it seems like things are just going, that they're amplifying really fast. So, you know, back to my question, are we going to see a logarithmic progression or a straightforward progression? In other words, you know, is next year going to be just, you know, 1 or 2% worse than this year? Or is next year going to be 10 or 20%? I mean, I realize you can't quantify it numerically, but how is this playing out right now? And what tipping points might we have passed?
Yeah, and the work you're referring to is the work of my friend and colleague, Jennifer Francis.
That's right.
From Woods Hole, who's done some really important work, both looking at the observations and looking at the patterns in the observations and looking at what models have to say, and making an argument for a number of years that climate change is impacting the winter jet stream in this way that's giving us, for example, more of these polar vortex events, the deep freeze that Texas experienced last year. I think she makes a credible case. I think there's increasing evidence for that hypothesis. It is still debated within the scientific community. People like to accuse climate scientists of being alarmists and overstating. No, you know, we're constantly debating with each other the science. You know, there's certain things that are accepted, and we've moved past that. But when it comes to some of the details, they're actively debated in good faith by scientists. And this is one of those details, precisely how climate change will impact winter weather. But, you know, if you're a betting person, you know, if you're risk averse, you know, you really want to keep in mind the worst potential outcomes, the worst potential consequences, what we call the tails of the distribution. What if we're wrong? And, you know, what if Jennifer Francis is right, and indeed we're likely to see a greater increase in these extreme winter events than the models predict? That's an example of one of those amplifying effects. Extreme weather events in the summer. Our own work suggests that climate models aren't capturing the impact that warming is having on the summer jet stream. And these very persistent weather extremes that you've seen on the West Coast, the heat dome a couple summers ago, we've seen on the East Coast unprecedented flooding events. There is evidence that there is an increase in these events that isn't captured by the climate models. Now, what the climate models are getting right is the overall warming of the planet. That has been pretty much linear, as you allude to, as we continue to put more carbon pollution into the atmosphere. The models have predicted that. In fact, ExxonMobil's own scientists predicted that decades ago. But the impacts of that warming, the extreme weather events, the collapse of ice shelves, all of these things seem to be happening faster than we predicted.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Michael Mann. Dr. Mann, can you stick around for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael Mann. MichaelMann.net, Michael E. Mann on Twitter.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And Mann is spelled with two N's on both MichaelMann.net and Michael E. Mann on Twitter. We'll be right back.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, Capterra.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Spoiled supermarket meat, sawdust-like fillers, artificial preservatives. Seriously, these are just a few of the potentially harmful ingredients found in many popular dog foods today, which is why Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw dog food made with real cuts of meat, omega-3-rich seeds, superfood veggies, and fruits. Dr. Marty has been called the miracle worker by Forbes because he's helped countless dogs thrive. Nature's Blend is designed to help support your dog's playfulness, healthy skin, soft coat, easy digestion, and youthful mobility. Our dogs, Blue and Chewy, go bonkers for the savory flavor and texture. For the holidays, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free festive holiday dog sweater with select orders. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. That's drmartypets.com/THOM. THOM to 511-511. They offer 100% 90-day return on your purchase price. Text TOM to 511-511 today. Offer available with select orders while supplies last. Text fees may apply. You may receive up to one additional text. Text STOP to opt out. 24 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Michael Mann. And Dr. Mann, if we could, one of the world's premier climate scientists, the University Distinguished Professor and Director of the Center for Science, Sustainability and the Media at the University of Pennsylvania, and the author of The New Climate War. Dr. Mann, I'm, you know, we've kind of talked about the challenges that the world is facing right now and the failures of COP24 and or 27 rather, and you know, how things are accelerating and all that sort of thing. There's also, it seems, an awful lot of good stuff going on. And one of the things that most encourages me is the Sunrise Movement, although we've reached out to them a couple of times to come on the program and have not been able to reach anybody who will, you know, who wants to do so. It's just kind of strange. But what I'm seeing is young people across this country and across Europe. You know, Greta Thunberg, the iconic leader of this movement in some ways, or at least kicking it off, really taking this seriously and really moving forward, and young politicians also in the United States. What are your thoughts on that? What's your understanding of that, and how do you think this is going to play out? We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here, 2.5 minutes here before the break.
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, the problem you're having, Tom, in getting them on the show is they're the Sunrise Movement. You've got an afternoon show. So if you can maybe...
That's terrible.
Okay. Sorry, it's a dad joke. I am a dad, after all. You know, I think it's been, you know, and I am a dad. I am a father. I have a daughter who's now 16 years old. But, you know, I remember when she was very, you know, when she was younger, and I thought a lot about what sort of world we're leaving for our children and grandchildren. What do we want our legacy to be? And I think what's so important about the youth climate movement, about Greta Thunberg and all those other youth climate advocates and the Sunrise Movement, is that, you know, as we've talked about before, they've recentered this conversation where it needs to be. For too long, we've let it be entirely about science and politics and economics, and framed in terms that play to, you know, the polluters, when in fact this is fundamentally an issue of ethics. What sort of planet do we want to leave behind for future generations? And on a daily basis, the Sunrise movement, the youth climate movement, they remind us of that.
Yeah, and they're doing so in a way that increasingly is hard to ignore, which I think is a really good thing. I have I have four kids, and I've got two grandchildren, 2 and 4 years old, and, like, you know, they're gonna be in 2080, they're gonna be my age. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Anyhow, Professor Mann, it's so great to have you with us. Thank you so much for dropping by today.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
MichaelMann.net.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And Michael E. Mann with two N's on Twitter. And check out his most recent book, The New Climate War. We'll be right back with your calls and the news of the day.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
The holidays are here, and we're savoring every moment with the help of HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers chef-crafted recipes right to our door so we can skip the trip to the grocery store and spend more time celebrating the season with those we love. HelloFresh makes it easy to host a holiday meal or simply add some seasonal flavor to our weeknight dinner routine with their festive eats recipes and crowd-pleasing quick meals. Whether you're hosting a holiday party or just stocking up on snacks, you'll find it all at HelloFresh Market. From quick breakfasts to charcuterie boards and desserts, it's never been easier to prep for a party or fill your pantry. Plus, with over 35 weekly recipes to choose from, there's always something new to try and love. Louise and I made the hoisin sweet potato and mushroom bowls with ginger rice and chili soy mayo recently. It was easy and yummy delicious. Sign up today at HelloFresh.com/Tom18 and use that code THOM18, Tom18, for 18 free meals.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill hold one last January 6th hearing today, and they're expected to vote on recommending criminal charges against former President Trump. Democrat Adam Schiff tells CNN,
"The evidence is there that Donald Trump committed criminal offenses in connection with his efforts to overturn the election."
The Trump-era Title 42, curbing the number of migrants allowed into the U.S., is set to expire Wednesday. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin tells CBS has faced the nation.
"We need an extension until we can get a viable answer for this. Right now, this is unattainable. This is wrong. You can't do this to the southern border."
Thousands of migrants are already streaming into El Paso daily. Elon Musk asking users whether they think he should continue on as boss at Twitter. CBS's Matt Piper.
Musk says he will abide by the poll's results, but when asked who would take his spot, replied via tweet, "No one wants the job who can actually keep Twitter alive."
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
the Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the faith electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Both are from Cozy Earth, the brand that made Oprah's favorite things list. First, Cozy Earth luxury bedding. You'll be surprised, just like Louise and I were, how soft they are. It's like floating on a cloud. They're not only super soft, they're made from the finest premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo. And that makes them naturally temperature regulating, so they'll sleep, the people who receive your gift will sleep comfortably year round. Louise and I sure do. And second, anything from their luxurious loungewear collection, including soft and stylish bamboo pajamas, joggers, tees, and more. While you're there, check out their premium plush and waffle bath towels. I love those too. And every Cozy Earth bedding item comes in a very cool reusable canvas bag. Save 40% now on Cozy Earth. Hurry, this holiday offer ends soon. Go to CozyEarth.com and enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, at checkout, and they'll give you 40% off. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com. And welcome back. Picking up your phone calls here, 35 minutes past the hour. Don in Baldwin, Iowa. Hey, Don, what's on your mind today?
Hi there, Tom. A couple months ago, you mentioned research you were doing on your new book, and it was related to the peopling of the New World, and the author was using DNA evidence to trace back to where our the ancestors of the early people came from. And at the tail end of what you were talking about, this author, I think his name was Metzler or something like that, he mentioned that in one of his chapters he talks about the megafauna being killed off by these newcomers to the New World. And that's been a topic that I've thought about for probably 50 years. And it has to do with, well, who were the first people? How long ago was it that they got here? And what happened to the megafauna?
Right. By megafauna, for people who don't know what you're talking about, when it appears that when humans first appeared in North America, that there were giant three-toed sloths that were like 150 pounds. There were giant mastodons, woolly mammoths. There were large saber-toothed tigers. There were all these large animals that somehow all vanished within the period of a few hundred or maybe 1,000 years.
That's correct. Excuse me. So, anyway, I came across two books that answer a lot of these questions. The first book I'll mention is Across the Atlantic Ice. Bruce Bradley and Dennis Stanford wrote this book, and Bruce Bradley is interested in the evidence by studying the projectile points, the Clovis points, and the knives and blades that they made.
Right.
And also Dennis Stanford's interested in what life was like about 13,000 years ago when we were at the end of that glaciation period. The sea level was about 300 to 400 feet lower than it is now,
right,
which exposed the continental shelf.
Right, and the land bridge from what we call Russia to what we call Alaska right now.
And it was even more than a land bridge. It was a Beringia is what they called it. And it was a large area that was above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what Bradley did was he tried to figure out the origins of Clovis points, and
these are the oldest arrowheads that have been found in North America. They believe that they were, and they were found in Clovis, New Mexico, as I recall. And they think they're like 10,000 years old. Am I remembering correctly?
Well, it's even older than that. As Bradley went around the continental shelf, he got over in Western Europe, and he found a group of people that were about 20,000 years ago were making real similar points, if not the same. They were the Solutrians.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were maritime folk. They lived on the shelf. They also had the ability to go out into the open ocean and catch fish. And they also had inland sites as well. But the interesting part about that is if they came around on that shelf, they didn't have to actually cross ice. They would be in water. And with their maritime abilities, they were able to float their boats around. And there's actually a site in eastern North America that's about 18,000 years old. A lot of the sites are underwater now, but they're getting better and better about underwater archaeology. Well, it turns out that the Clovis culture started on the east coast of North America and then worked its way west.
Oh, interesting.
That's one of the most intriguing finds, I think, that come out of this book.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, it's everything kind of disappeared. Clovis stopped about 13,500 years ago. So where did they go? Well, there's another book that I read recently that's The Deadly Voyager. That was by James Lawrence Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And his contention is that through a lot of his work looking at archaeology and different sites around the globe, they came across a layer that's similar to the KT level that was associated with the dinosaurs dying off.
Mm-hmm.
And this layer is got what you would call star stuff in it. It only comes from asteroids or comets.
Mm-hmm.
And he traced it back to a time when Earth's orbit crossed paths with the fragmented comet that was made up of ice and rock. And when that comet passed through our orbit, passed through its orbit, however you want to say that there was a huge firestorm, and that was about 13,500 years ago. And this wasn't an impact, this was a firestorm. As these fragments hit the atmosphere and burned up, they caused just terrible devastation, but it was only on areas that weren't ice covered. At that time, ice went clear down about 43 degrees latitude,
mm-hmm,
across North America.
Right.
And so anything below that would have had that layer, and they found it at Clovis sites around not only North America.
Interesting. So it was a celestial event, that you think. Have you read The Dawn of Everything by David Graeber and David Wengrove? David Graeber's been on our program a number of times. He recently passed away, but it's an amazing book.
I'm halfway through it.
Okay.
It's a thick book, and yeah, I have to ponder when I read it.
Yeah, I read the whole thing. Don, I need to move along and let other callers in here, but I love these conversations. Thanks so much for the information. And
can I say just one more thing?
Sure.
The last thing I want to say is that in Greenland, they went down through the ice, and they found this layer there as well. So it wasn't eroded. It was captured.
Amazing.
And there's a lot more I could say about it, but I'll let you go. Thanks, Don.
Okay, I'll check out those books. Don, thank you very much. It's a fascinating topic. Bill in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom. Great show, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm blown away by of all the massive advertising that is occurring as it relates to Medicare Advantage.
Yeah, it's pretty much stopped now because the open enrollment period ended last week. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I know you've talked about it from time to time in the past. And I guess is Medicare Advantage, which I don't think is Medicare, a pathway for the privatization of Medicare that retirees have worked so hard to earn?
Yes.
And then my other
let me just answer your question, then you can ask your follow-up.
Yeah.
In 2000, George W. Bush ran for president on a platform that included privatizing both Medicare and Social Security. And his pitch was, you know, private industry is always more efficient and government can never do anything right, and we need to privatize these programs. And in 2003, he and the Republican Party and a handful of Democrats, you know, truth be told, got together and put together a program to privatize Medicare. It's called Medicare Advantage, and it's not Medicare. It's private health insurance from private for-profit or sometimes nonprofit health insurance companies, HMOs, PPOs, and they're reimbursed out of the Medicare trust fund. So it's draining, because these companies are allowed to run with 20, 30, and in some cases even 40% profit margins. They're just ripping us off terribly as a nation. They're draining the Medicare trust fund of money
and they're using that money to be able, I mean, this is all about market share, right? You know, when Walmart moves into a community, they drop their prices and wipe out the local businesses. And then when all the local businesses are gone, they raise their prices back up again. In my opinion, that's what the Medicare Advantage companies are doing right now. Oh, we can get you free health care or free Medicare when, you know, real Medicare is going to cost you, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month. They'll deduct it out of your Social Security. I predict that when they finally shut down Medicare, because Medicare Advantage is now over 55% of Medicare, that when they finally shut down Medicare, the free Medicare Advantage is going to go away in a heartbeat. So back to you.
Well, you know, you just answered my second question about, you know, how, why, and when did all this come about, and who are the key players involved? You pretty much covered that. I guess it's just a remaining comment is that I worked hard to get my Medicare, and I'm worried, you know, given what you're saying, that, you know, even if I don't change and go to Medicare Advantage, they're going to come and just take it away from me anyway.
I think that enough Americans are waking up now, and I've certainly been leading this charge for several years on this program and in my writing over at HartmanReport.com. And it's starting to get around, right? And you know, we've our friends at Social Security Works, Alex Lawson and others there, Physicians for National Health Program, PNHP.org. There are a number of evangelists out there, you know, preaching the good word. But more importantly, just a few weeks ago, the New York Times had a major story on what a ripoff Medicare Advantage is. About 2 years ago, New York Times had a major story again. About how difficult they've made it to get back on Medicare if you get sucked into Medicare Advantage. Once you leave your original Medicare and your Medigap plan, Medigap, they have the right plans for you regardless of how sick you are. Once you leave that program and for Medicare Advantage and then try to come back, even if it's, you know, a short period of time later, they can then underwrite you. In other words, they can then look at how sick you are and quote you a price based on how sick you are, rather than being forced to follow the rules of Medicare from 1966. And this just locks people into Medicare Advantage, which is their whole goal. So, you know, we need some major legislative reform of Medicare. It's not going to happen with the Republicans controlling the House of Representatives in the next 2 years, in all probability. But if we can take back control of the House and the Senate and the White House and hold the control of the White House in 2024, hold control of the Senate, then I think maybe we can do something about it. So, but it's going to take a political solution. This was caused by a political problem. You know, George W. Bush giving us Medicare Part C, which is what's known as Medicare Advantage, and Medicare Part D, which is the so-called prescription drug program. Both were completely privatized. And this was the camel's nose under the tent. Bill, I got to run, but thanks for the call. It's an amazing story how we got here. And we've got to dig out from underneath these predatory corporations.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, how big business destroyed the American dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light, and because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. And welcome back to 9 minutes before the hour. Larry, our math guy friend in Los Angeles. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
I have to admit that I'm one of those guys that used to put a transistor radio under my pillow, turn the volume down really low so it would last all night.
You too. It's great.
And I also remember the crystal radios. One of them was in the shape of a Gemini capsule. And there were two brands of it. So one of them was you could get really cheap at the surplus store.
Yeah.
And that was one of the radios we used to buy.
Wow.
And my brothers used to make crystal radios when they were in junior high school. By the time I got there, and then they stopped doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing times.
But, So I'm looking at what happened over the years with Democratic presidents versus Republicans, and the Democratic presidents, of course, see most of the jobs created. Like I said, they've seen something like 46 million jobs created in the last 34 years. The Democratic presidents have seen that. The Republicans, 0 million. And you have this situation.
So last 43 years, you said?
And last 34 years.
34 years.
Biden is bringing it up to, I'm including Biden's numbers. That makes it that the Democrats have been in office 2 years longer than the Republicans, but still, get rid of Biden's numbers, and it's like something like 36 million was created when the Democratic presidents were in office. In the last 34 years, a 34-year-old man has never seen a Democratic president give us a recession, never seen a Democratic president give us job loss.
Wow. And every single Republican president has.
every single Republican has. So you have to wonder why it is that Republicans, these young people, vote for Republicans, and because they don't know this history. And so you have the situation where Bannon is sending people all over the world to try to promote fascism, and the Republican Party is all of those thousands of Republican radio stations are broadcasting to the entire world that our borders are open.
Yeah, I know. That's driving people up to the United States. Whenever there's a Democrat in the White House, the Republicans start telling people in Central and South America that the border is wide open, and boom, all of a sudden people show up and that Democratic president has a crisis.
Asymmetrical warfare is what they're playing. So not only are the Democrats doing good for the American people, the stock market rises, they don't produce the deficits, and then they see millions upon millions of jobs created. The Republicans get in there and try to make sure America fails. And whenever the Democratic president is in the White House, and then they start talking about all these social issues that presidents have nothing to do with because they can't talk about the real issues.
That's right.
And so this asymmetrical warfare is going on, and it's been going on for decades now, and that's the reason why even today, Republican presidents get the White House more often than Democrats, but the Republicans are the one that's doing all the damage, the destroying of America, now the destroying of the entire world with their global warming lies, their so-called theories that they talk about are really just blatant, bald-faced lies. Theories require some truth to be involved in a new theory. What Republicans propagate across the entire world is nothing but lies
with regard to climate change.
Lie.
Yeah, it's really
lies,
sad.
The climate change lies, the fact that Donald Trump is claiming he was going to be the jobs president when he lost 3 million jobs, and all of this stuff that takes place, our news media does not talk about it. Our liberal bias news media doesn't talk about it because they have a right-wing swing to it. And so you have this situation where the Republicans own most of the radio stations. Bannon suddenly gets a TV program. Ted Nugent gets a TV program on my cable station. After Trump loses, they gain more power because of the billionaires pour more money into putting right-wingers on our TVs, on our radios, so they can win the next election.
Yeah, it's grim stuff. Larry, thank you for a great summary and all the numbers. Rich in Indianapolis. Rich, I only have 30 seconds here. You got a quick one to end the show?
Yes, sir, I do, and thank you. Yesterday, Rachel Maddow was able to be a guest on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and they talked about Rachel's podcast called Ultra, about the ultra-right, the ultra-conservative in the United States. And it is historical. It goes back to Father Conklin, the radio guy.
I'm with you.
The fascist.
I've listened to it, Rich. It is spectacular. You're absolutely right. And Sean was telling me about listening to Terry Gross yesterday. I'm going to have to check it out. Rich, thank you. Thanks for the heads up on that for everybody out there listening. And happy holidays to you and your family. Hey, special thanks to Louise Hartman, Sean Taylor, Nate Atwell, Jamie Holly, Joyce the Hammer, Nance, Nigel Peacock, Sue Nethercutt, Patrick White, Geraldine Albert, Von Hartenbaum, Chase Frost, Nicholas Miller, Pat Sweeney, Jay LeBlanc, Al Gorilla Rhythm, Connor Arroyo, and Carne Verde, the people who help keep this program going. And, run all these various things. Thank you so much. And so don't forget, democracy requires you. It needs you. So get out there, get active, tag. You're it. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Have you been naughty or nice this year? Well, you might fool Santa, but you definitely can't fool your internet provider. They've seen all your late night naughty searches this year. But you know what? Your business is yours. That's why this holiday season, you should gift yourself the gift of privacy with ExpressVPN. Did you know that the private mode doesn't keep your activity private? Your internet provider, like AT&T or Verizon, can see all the websites you've clicked on. They even know how much time you spend on each one of them, and they've likely already sold it to advertisers. I use ExpressVPN because I have a right to privacy, and so do you. Best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button to turn it on, and you're instantly protected. So take yourself off the naughty list with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Tom and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/THOM. ExpressVPN.com/Tom.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. And the Zeros. And Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.